The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're out. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot, the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy.
Whoa.
I don't see any
Whoa.
Reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
who
difference.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler. You know...
The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got...
Hello, and welcome to episode 130 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, joined by Petite Jonet.
Hey, friend.
Hey, friend. We're joined by none other than Ms. V at Westlupo.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Ms. V. How you doing?
I'm good.
Barely awake, but I'm good.
Thank you. Glad you could join us. And we're also joined tonight by our first-time guest. You may know him from the hashtag Rawcast, hashtag SmackDown Matters. It's at Brooklyn's Son. Anthony, what's up, bud?
What is up? Hailing all the way from Brooklyn, New York. Glad to join tonight's podcast.
Hey, man. Glad that you could be here. Now, before we get started, we got to let you know that the WrestleCast can be found on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play. You can find us, download us at www.cspn.us or thewrestlecast.tumblr.com. Now, Anthony, since this is your first time here on the show, we have to find out your origin story. So kind of tell us, you know, who you grew up watching, who were some of your favorites, you know, who got you into watching professional wrestling, and just kind of take you through your journey that's kind of led up to now.
Oh, man. All right. So born and raised right here in Brooklyn, New York. My first time watching wrestling was right after, usually Saturday mornings after X-Men on Fox 5, WWF In Your House would come on. So I'm like, oh, all right, cool. This was way before I got into boxing and everything else. And certain guys stuck out to me, guys like Triple H, The Rock, Razor Ramon, The Godfather, all these different characters. And definitely The Rock stuck out to me because later, as I started watching, you know, he started getting into the program with the Nation of Domination, and I was like, oh, shit, all right. And I love shit talking, so The Rock got me hooked on it. When they finally brought SmackDown to UPN, you know, I remember racing home every Thursday after school and getting into it. And then guys like Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit caught my attention, Kurt Angle caught my attention, It was a crazy time to be a wrestling fan, like especially also with the Monday Night Wars. Like, watch it, go to school, and that's all we're talking about, the Monday Night Wars, and all this craziness that's going on. So, yeah, man, I've been a lifelong wrestling fan. And then when I was in Afghanistan after high school, I just got into New Japan Pro Wrestling because at the time, you know, we only had a certain amount of window to watch TV when you're out patrolling. So I discovered that, and, you know, I was like, oh, okay. Used to sit up late nights when I'm out patrolling and watch a lot of Okada and Tanahashi matches and stuff like that. So yeah, we've been watching wrestling since the diaper years, so to speak.
I think that's the case with everything this long into your 30s or 40s or anything past like 25, I think you have to start it since a young age. So that's pretty cool, man. And like everybody out there, thank you for your service.
It's a thankless job.
Because I'm pretty sure you don't hear it enough.
No. It's you know, like, because I don't, like, I'm just glad to be home in one piece, you know, so we can enjoy some of this crazy wrestling, you know.
Right. All right, so we're going to jump into the news before we get into our reviews. First big piece of news is that the WWE and TNA appear to be in negotiations on the rights to the broken Matt Hardy character. Maybe not the Brother Nero right now, but they're going to try to buy that property from TNA. Good business move from TNA because it will give them a big lump sum of cash just right away that they can use for tapings and upgrade.
Because Lord knows they need the cash.
Oh, yes, for real. So I guess we'll see something hopefully maybe come through in the next week or so involving this. So then we'll have to see if WWE can let Matt Hardy get involved in his own storyline and make it work to be just as good as it was on TNA. So that'll be the next step if they can acquire it and work something out.
Right.
Next piece of news, Dash Wilder of The Revival is out with a broken jaw that he suffered at an NXT house show at the hands of Hideo Itami. They were actually wrestling Hideo Itami and Nakamura, kind of finishing up their last little NXT loops. And unfortunately, injured. Hopefully, they say he'll be back in July. But, you know, with injuries, you never know. So
that's such, like, a terrible thing.
Yo, like, Hideo Itami is, like, the damn injury magnet for some reason. I don't get it. If he's not injured, somebody
injuring himself. Yeah, or he's injuring himself. Yeah, it's a bad look. And on some late breaking injury news, on the latest NXT tapings, Ember Moon has apparently maybe severely injured her shoulder. She was doing a dive. Number one contender's four-way match. And apparently she hit her shoulder up against the barricade, and they're fearing that it could be very serious. So hopefully it's not as bad as they think. And this doesn't stop her push towards the NXT title, but this would be a major setback for her if this is a serious injury. So prayers up for her. And also prayers up to the Anoa'i family as Rosie of Three, also the superhero in training with Hurricane Helms, passed away on Tuesday. He's also the Olden Reigns. Of course, a cousin of Umaga or Eki, and the nephew of the Samoan SWAT team and all that great lineage. So actually, I'll go around the room. So if you guys, as your impressions of Rosie from 3 Minute Warning, if you guys remember from that or from the days with the hurricane. So Ms. V, I'll start with you first.
Oh gosh. actually my memories of Rosie are actually from the hurricane stuff when he was the superhero in training. That's what I remember him most from. And I think he was really entertaining with the Hurricane. Like, they were a really cool tag team, something different that we hadn't seen in a while. And so I actually really enjoyed him there. I actually don't remember 3 Minute Warning. That might have been around the time where I might have been checked out a little bit of wrestling, so I don't remember that. But
okay. And your thoughts about Rosie?
Rosie, his program with the Hurricane jumped out to me. 3 Minute Warning was like, okay, you know, because now the Usos are taking that shtick, sort of. But I most remember him from his program with the Hurricane. Like, they had me dying, especially with when I got to work with The Rock. It was really cool. So it's a big. I could see this being a big hit for the wrestling community. You know? So, but yeah, Rosie's to me, Rosie is the superhero, also known as the Hamburglar, as The Rock put it.
Miss Dee, here. Do you have any memories of Rosie?
Yeah, not really. Like, that's awful. I know that's awful, but was 3 Minute Warning Rosie and Jamal?
Yes, ma'am. See,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I do remember them as a team, but I don't remember them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they were Eric Bischoff's heavies. So basically, if he got pissed off with you, he basically gave you the 3 Minute Warning, and then it was more like a 30-second warning, and then they just come in and wipe you out.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, they were two big bad dudes. Yeah, I'm just like everybody else. I think the thing that stood out the most was the stuff with the Hurricane, just their interactions together. The backstage stuff with him saying very little, but being the most entertaining thing on the screen. Anthony was saying, his time with The Rock, you know, and them being real life cousins and all that type of stuff, and just their interaction. So it was real cool to see him expand and become Three Minute Warning, though, and show that, you know, heel side, that nasty side as well. So definitely a great performer, and just our hopes go out to the Anoa'i family, because that's definitely a big loss. So prayers up to them. So next we'll try to transition into Monday Night Raw. It was from the campus of Columbus, Ohio, Ohio State. So we get a video recap of what happened between Braun and Roman from last week.
Oh, God.
where Braun turned over the ambulance and became the biggest babyface in all of wrestling. So Braun comes out to do his in-ring promo. Ms. V.
What did I think about that? I am Roman is bae, so
I appreciated it. I think it was okay. I thought it was dumb because I think Vince needs to realize like Roman is not gonna get sympathy that way. Getting beat up by Braun is not what's gonna make the fans turn and be like, oh my gosh, we have to cheer for Roman. That it's like. It had the complete opposite effect. So I was just like, this is really, for that reason, I thought it was dumb. I'm just like, it's just that whole mentality of doing things the old school way and being able to manipulate the fans with when it comes to Roman just doesn't seem to work. But it was entertaining on the other end. Like if you're just like a wrestling fan in general, I think it was entertaining to watch and to see Braun just kind of go off like that. And then I also think people, I'm a Roman fan, but I think people need to, like, that guy takes an ass whooping better than a lot of people on that roster. Like, there's, like, he has been getting his ass handed to him for, like, a couple of years now, and he does it very, very, very well and very convincingly, and to the point to where it's very entertaining. So I was on board, I was okay with it just because I'm okay with Braun, but I think it was just dumb if they were trying to make Roman look sympathetic because that's not what it did. So,
right.
Yeah, it was a little tone deaf, like we talked about last week, coming off of the, you know, standing in the ring for 15 minutes and people yelling and screaming everything they could at him. So, yeah, as I said last week, if Vince truly thought that in his heart, then he should just go ahead and let Triple H run the company, because there's no way, like you said, that the people are going to have any type of sympathy.
Nah, especially after Roman just sent Undertaker to the retirement home and, you know, him being on Monday Night Raw and saying, this is my yard now. Like, I'm like, yo, Vince, you got to let this boy, Roman Reigns, just let him be who he going to be. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to force this baby facing, just let that boy be him and let him, like, because he got the natural heel thing down. He has it.
Right.
You see the interviews, you see it's been oozing out of him. I'm like, yo, just let the boy run gunshot over. I mean, y'all got your heat. This boy got nuclear heat. Just let him start creating some chaos in the back. But that, and it's crazy because that Braun Strowman, him and Braun Strowman altercation came right on time for that, because the same day was the United thing happened, and lots of memes were coming out. So, like, when he was getting thrown, the people created memes, but they were like, this is what happened on the United flight.
That's all.
You know what's funny, though? I think, like, if Vince was smart, he would have let Roman do that. Maybe not to Braun, but just, like, let Roman just go and run roughshod over everybody and just be like, I don't really give a fuck anymore. I beat the Undertaker. What are you going to do about it? It might have actually done something to help him get over. I mean, he's already over as a heel as it is, but it would have been, people would have been like, well, finally, Roman Reigns is finally being the asshole that we all think he is. So let him just go ahead and do it.
Because
probably would have worked better. It would have helped Roman out even more than it helped Braun out.
Yeah, because Braun didn't really need that, but I thought, but like Roman, I'm just like, yo, let him be. Because the Raw after WrestleMania, that one liner, I was like, that's money right there. like his little mannerisms playing to the crowd, and then he had the interview with Cole. I'm like, man, they got let, because, and you can see it, he wants it to come out, but Vince is like not trying to hear nothing. And I'm like, you Vince, you gotta let this boy just go ahead and just bug the fuck out. And
yeah, like I don't think Vince sees it, but Vince could have The Rock and Stone Cold in the same dude if he let him, if he just let him go.
Honestly, they let him go and let him just be the heel that everybody kind of wants him to be right now. He'll eventually turn into one of the biggest faces that the WWE does have, because people are going to eventually get back behind him once we finally, once the booking is finally right, and once they finally let him be himself. Because he, like, when you hear him on like Talk Is Jericho, and you hear him on any interviews and stuff that he does, like when he's just being Joe or just being Roman Reigns, like he is a really charismatic person, and he's actually very well spoken, and he's entertaining, but it's just Vince wants him to be like Cena, and that's not who he's going to be. But if he, but at the same time, if they let him be himself, he might actually end up being bigger than Cena at some point, and just let him rock, like let him be the cocky asshole that he probably is behind the scene, like just let him be that guy. But
yeah, because Roman could fit being that cocky asshole. You could put him. You could put stick him back in Hot 97 in New York or all these radio shows. Get him on. Oh, man, this, like, Roman, if they were to get him to be heel, being that he has nuclear heat, he would be making WWE way more money than what Brock Lesnar is making them, I think.
Right, because the attraction from the all everyday fans is to see him lose.
Yeah.
And then they book him like Floyd Mayweather, where he's an asshole but never loses. And he just
right. Like what they did with when he was down at NXT, when his promos, when he used to come out in the suits and he used to, you know, cut on Byron Saxton. And I was like, man, I wish they could let Roman just come out like that. Like, just, I mean, you ain't got to put the suit on him. Just like let him come out, just talk his shit, and just like really dig into fans, because I'm a Roman Reigns fan. I want to see him like really win out here. So they gotta just let him stop writing this John Cena shit for him, because he even said on Talk Is Jericho he don't want to be John Cena, he want to be himself. So, you know, Vince gotta like let him do him, or like just step aside and let Triple H run things, you know.
Right. All right. So Braun comes out to do the in-ring promo. It's only like a 3-minute promo. He brags about what he did to Roman last week, and that leads to Kurt Angle coming out. Kurt Angle makes a match between Braun Strowman and Roman for payback, and then Kurt Angle gives Braun Strowman the night off, but Braun refuses and says that he wants more competition or else. So Seth Rollins comes out to do commentary for the Samoa Joe versus Chris Jericho match. Then we get Samoa Joe versus Chris Jericho. Samoa Joe gets Chris Jericho in a coquina clutch. They're in a standing position. Chris Jericho tries to escape, so he runs to the ropes. He runs up the ropes, pushes Samoa Joe fall down on his back, which is actually the worst position to be in the coquina clutch, which makes Jericho tap out, and Samoa Joe gets a clean win. Samoa Joe cuts a promo on Seth about their match at Payback. Samoa Joe looking fantastic here, Chris Jericho doing the honors. It was cool that Corey Graves actually pointed it out that Jericho was in a better position before he ran up the ropes to try to, the turnbuckles, to try to get out of the coquina clutch. When Joe held on, he basically, you know, had him in the prime position. So, good match. Probably another match they probably could have saved for a bigger event if Chris Jericho was still going to be around after this month, but I guess Chris Jericho said, I got to get in as many matches as I can with guys that I haven't worked with before, so before he does this next hiatus. So, Anthony, did you get a chance to see this match?
Yes, actually, I did, and I think they're doing right by this program, tying in what happened before Mania, having them do this altercation. My only concern is why they didn't keep Kevin Owens, because it looks like for the live shows they're going to do this this alliance thing with him and Kevin Owens. But nevertheless, I think they're going to that's going to be a match where they're going to tear down the house, and it's right. This is one of the few bookings that WWE got right. So hopefully during the week, because we got about 2 weeks to go before Payback, so they need to kind of start ramping things up here.
Right. So we go to break, and Braun attacks the Golden Truths on their way to the ring to face the Good Brothers. So, of course, the Good Brothers come out. Now they don't have an opponent. They call to the back, hey, if there's anybody back there, you know, Kurt Angle finds somebody to come out here and face us. So, Enzo and Cass come out. They do their spiel. They'll come down to the ring. Anderson counters the top rope DDT attempt by Enzo by throwing him into the top turnbuckles like feet first. So he landed like stomach and gut first on the top turnbuckle, and he just flips off. And Anderson pins him for the 1-2-3. I don't know what the hell that was, but it looked like it hurt for real. And that's all it takes for me to say, yeah, you can get pinned by that. So, did you get the chance to see this poor, what they did to poor Enzo this week?
Mm-mm.
You missed it.
I missed it. Yeah. They treated him like a rag doll, per use.
He did have on some Carolina blue.
Comfortable Jordans on the planet.
Yeah, the ones. And yeah, I give him some props for that. He's always looking fly. If you're going to take an ass whooping, at least look fly.
Yeah. I just thought that finish was weird because I'm like, that's it? That's all we get?
Yeah, yeah. So.
Can I just say, Goldust deserves better?
Yeah,
I need them to like stop treating Goldust like he's trash because the dude can actually like wrestle.
Him and Ron Killings.
Like he's done a lot for that company, and I feel like he deserves a lot better than getting beat up on the way to the ring with R-Truth. Like that. That is so trash, and I'm glad that Cody left and is doing his thing and actually getting some respect out in the indies, but like they got to do better by Goldust, man. Like let him at least get like a little bit of a run with like the IC title or the United States or something. So never going to give him the actual championship belt, but like let him do something because it's disrespectful. I don't like it.
He could go to NXT and be the ish just for a little,
yeah, like
but just to like do something and do something meaningful.
Yeah, because it's like the WWE waited for Dusty Rhodes to die, and then it's like, all right, we're gonna shit on the Suns, and so we're gonna get Cody out the paint, and then we're just gonna every time Braun has a segment, we're just gonna have Braun run up on Goldust and get stomped out and thrown through like thrown through a fence and shit, and it's like, oh, y'all really doing this?
Yeah, like
leave my man alone.
Yep. But we still like the Rhodes family because we have a Dusty statue at Access every year. And we're going to use his name to sell some tickets at NXT, which is, I'm just like, if you're going to do that, like, show some respect to his kids who have actually, like, made, like, honestly, like, a lot of the stuff back in the Attitude Era, Cody said this, and it's true, like, they probably would have not been able to do a lot of stuff they did if Goldust would not have gotten over the way that he did. Like, he pushed the envelope a ton back then, and he was one of the people to usher in that whole Attitude Era, and I think they need to let... And even, like, the stuff he did with Book Dust and all that, like, he has done a lot for that company. Like, they need to do better by him and that whole entire family.
Yeah, like, put him, like, start putting him in these serious pro, because the man can go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he can go. Like, there's fewer guys his age that can actually get in there and work, and they need to, I think they should put him back in the IC title picture, because right now, it's a little dull with Dean Ambrose on top. So
like, I would be so hyped up if they had Goldust come and destroy Dean Ambrose. That would be the greatest thing ever. Like, I actually would be okay with watching them go back and forth because that would actually be a really cool program to see the two of them. I might actually be interested in Dean to see him against, but like Goldust from back in the day, like not like this whole Darth Vader Goldust.
No.
Like Goldust.
Especially when Goldust and, Roddy Piper had their feud leading up to I forgot what WrestleMania was, and they had the street fight where they went all over, not just the arena, but they drove
the backlot brawl.
Yeah. I'm like, they could do that with Dean Ambrose and Goldust and just let them cut loose. I guarantee you'll get a solid program out of them too with that. You know, instead of having Dean Ambrose in there with Mr. Hollywood, The Miz. I mean, as much as The Miz is probably one of the greatest talkers on the roster, I'm like, I got to do something with Dean, and I think Goldust can bring that out in Dean.
Well, it's funny that you bring up The Miz and Dean, as that is the next segment, Miz TV. Dean interrupts the opening introduction to Miz TV and just comes out. They cut promos on each other, and then they get physical, with Miz barely escaping the dirty deeds. Doing some good promo stuff. Basically, The Miz doing what he do, spitting that straight fire. That truth, you know what I'm saying? He be speaking that truth that The Office be saying and the internet be saying. So, like, he be hitting there. He called Dean complacent, that he gotten lazy. Basically, you know, basically what everybody's been feeling about Dean since after he got the title, that, you know, he's just not hot no more. Mm-hmm. Dean didn't like it and tried to give Miz dirty deeds, but he escaped.
I mean, that's the right truth hurts. And Dean is so, he's been stale for a long time. Like, way before the brand split, he was just like, why? Get off the TV screen. And I hate that I feel that way, because I actually did like him when he was a part of the Shield. But him by himself and that whole, like, weird psycho thing that he's trying to do, like, it only goes so far. And it's not entertaining. And I don't know, like, and I love The Miz. I've always actually been a Miz fan. But I don't know if I care about the two of them going against each other. So I'm hoping that something will make me care about the two of them. But right now, it's kind of like, why? Let's do something else. Why are we doing this? And I think, honestly, I think that's more on Dean's part. It's not even so much Miz. It's all on Dean, because I did not give one damn about Dean and Baron Corbin. I guess I know they had some good matches, like, not on the pay-per-views, but, like, on SmackDown. But I didn't care about him then either. And I don't know. Maybe it's just because, I don't know. I just need him to, like, be interesting again and not be this boring person that he's been lately. So, I don't know.
The week Dean and Baron Corbin had a heck of a match I went to, and I was like, oh, if this is how they're going to do the WrestleMania match, this actually might be halfway decent. And then, no, it was not.
Yeah, they stuck up the joint. I'm like, oh, God. I think Dean needs, like, he needs to change something up, because it ain't clicking. He's staler than Heinz ketchup at the 99 cent store. Like, my God. Like, holy shit, Dean. Like, Dean was, like, when he was with the Shield, it was like, oh, okay, I could dig Dean. He's the crazy character. And it's like, yo, Dean, we ain't buying it no more. You ain't Brian Pillman. We're not buying this. Yeah, you got to change something up. Either change your character up or, like, I don't know, hold somebody at gunpoint like Brian Pillman did, if you're going to go that route or whatever. But yeah,
Do you think Dean worked with the Shield because there was two other people to balance him out, so we didn't see this boring, like, he had somebody to play off of every time we saw him on screen?
Well, I think because he played off of Roman, because him and Roman got more close, so they were like, they had that Lethal Weapon like marriage, and then to be honest, Dean and Seth are supposed to be the strongest ones in terms of, like, because they've been around for more than Roman Reigns, so it's for him to, and even Stone Cold said it. I think Dean Ambrose is kind of phoning it in instead of, like, okay, what can we do to really, you know, to really bring me out, and, like, because there's, as an IC title holder, that's what that, for WrestleMania, that was not supposed to be on the pre-show, you know, and for that to be on the pre-show, and you stink up to, like, how do AJ Styles and Shane McMahon have a better match than you, Dean Ambrose? Like, he's got to either change up or maybe drop the title to The Miz and something. Like, something's got to change.
Yeah.
Here's my theory. The Shield is greater together than they are apart. He was a champion, and, you know, he had the Stooges with him, and that was fun while it was going on. So he was over some. But, you know, of course, we've talked about Roman's trials and tribulations, and then, of course, now Dean's having those same kind of trials and tribulations. But just the theory of all three of them together, though, everybody gets jazzed up and hyped, and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm all down for it. So I think that that's the problem, is that, you know, everybody accepts them together, but they haven't been accepted separate, and they've been trying to get pushed that way.
Right. Because I think, like, Dean is not clicking. Seth Rollins, maybe. I mean, the hottest one out of all three of them is honestly Roman Reigns. It's just, like, the E got to let Roman, like, really let him fly, because they got a gem with With Seth Rollins, he's coming to his own as a baby face. You know, he's still working some kinks out. But Dean, damn, Dean, it's like, I don't know. Maybe they should, like, maybe they should put him back in a tag team with Roman Reigns and let them to wreck house, just wreck shop.
Yeah. I just think with Dean, you can't call yourself, like, unstable, and the worst you do is, like, do a really stale hardcore match. Like, he's never done anything really unstable, and he's never really done anything that would make you think, oh, that guy should be in an asylum. Like, and that's his whole gimmick. But he doesn't do anything that really makes you think that. So it's kind of just like, oh, he's different. He sticks his tongue out when he walks through the ring. Oh, he's crazy. And it's like, no,
that's not crazy. That's just you being annoying.
All right, so we're going to move on to Braun. He's in the bed.
Braun!
Dragging around Kalisto by, like, like, across the floor, like, in the bed, like you would, like, a small child when they're at the bed in the grocery store. He says that Roman Reigns is garbage, and so is Kalisto. And he picks Kalisto up, and he throws him into one of those industrial trash carts with trash in it. After he, you know, wipes his hands of just throwing out the trash, he's walking in the back. And the Big Show gives Braun, like, a shoulder tackle, knocks Braun off his feet, and the Big Show tells Braun to pick on someone his own size.
Boom. And thus, we have the battle for the big piece of chicken.
Yes. That's a funny segment. Just the fact that, I mean, literally seeing Braun pick Kalisto up and throw him in a trash bin is hilarious. Everything that they're doing with Braun, they try to make him an asshole, but I like it. It makes me pop, makes me cheer him. So it's working against what they're trying to do for sure.
Because y'all like assholes.
Yeah. Yes, we do. Yes,
no judgment. No judgment. But I'm just saying.
Hashtag.
Real life.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So we get TJP. Dee Dee, what's your gimmick?
I am a grown-ass woman doll.
That's right. Versus Gentleman Jack Gallagher. Perkins runs Gallagher into Austin Aries at ringside. That causes Neville to sweep out Aries' leg against the chairs at ringside. Meanwhile, TJ Perkins kicks the ropes into the face of Jack Gallagher. Then he hits the detonation kick, and he gets the win. So it's TJ Perkins, Austin Aries, and Neville kind of triangle with TJ Perkins trying to get into his heel character. He was wearing the purple and black DD Light Wario this week, though.
Oh, sounds like a heel.
Did he do the dab?
Yeah, he's doing that stupid-ass dab. He's
doing the dab.
Heels don't dab, though.
He's, like, never going to be a heel with that music.
Nah, he got to change it to, if he's going to stick with the video games, maybe go with a Wario or maybe I don't know. But, like, yeah, that video game thing, nah. He's not going to be heel, but he's acting like it, you know? He's just got
to... He also, like, I need y'all to Google Paw Patrol, P-A-T-R-O-L, and tell me that is not TJ Perkins. Like, that, and every time I see that, I think of the freaking theme song from this children's television show. And
what's it called again?
Paw Patrol.
So
P-A-W, it's about a bunch of puppies.
And then patrol. And
the puppies save the city.
Yeah. It's the but like their owner looks like TJ Perkins.
He does.
And that every time.
Wow.
And that's why I can't take him seriously as a heel. Like, he'll never be a heel because
he gotta go.
Like, when he's not wrestling, he's saving the world with puppies. So
yeah, nah.
No,
he gotta go. TJ gotta go. Damn, why did you show me that?
I can't buy it.
Oh my god. Nah, he gotta go.
So next up, we get.
I just looked at the picture.
Oh my god! Yeah, he got that stupid.
Same haircut.
Same stupid haircut. Let me see what's on his feet. Yep, almost the same sneakers he got on his feet.
Yeah, it's both bad.
TJ Paw Patrol Perkins.
This is analysis you only find here at the WrestleCast, folks.
No, wait. No, there's a Paw Patrol Live. You think that's why sometimes we don't see TJ? And then a Paw Patrol live shot.
Another
show.
Oh my goodness.
Moonlighting.
Nah, he gotta get germ suplexed by Perry Saturn. Light.
Annette on Raw is backstage. Akira Tozawa is talking to Apollo Crews. He's so excited to have Apollo Crews back on Raw because in real life, these two guys were like tag team partners, really good friends. Then all of a sudden, Titus rolls up. So Akira Tozawa kind of rolls out and Titus congratulates Apollo. Titus, says, well, now that you're back on Raw, what you gonna do? How you gonna stand out? He's like, I'm just gonna work hard and good things will come to me. And Titus was like, whatever. You need to join the Titus brand, homie. He's like, we can get some things powder, we can build. And he gave him his card.
He fucks with the vision.
Yeah. So that was a really cool segment. That's the best Titus has been in quite some time. Actually, I know a lot of y'all don't go on to YouTube kind of after Raw on Tuesday mornings or whatever. But when he was doing the press conferences, those were pretty good. They should have brought that to like Raw because that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Like Titus O'Neil, like his comedy acts are just clicking. Like, especially with the You Need to Build With Me. That's like some of these fuck boys out here. They'd be like, yo, I fucks with your vision, come mess with me. We need to build fam.
Yeah, it's kind of like Famous B in Lucha Underground too. It's got that kind of vibe to it. Like, yo, you come with me, I can get you popping and out. So hopefully this though, and they can kind of do something with both of them and get both of them kind of in a different spot. Because Apollo Crews needs something, even if he turns like arrogant, puts on a suit or something. It's better than what he's doing now.
Yeah, because all he's doing, he's just smiling and profiling and wasting space right now. They got to get him going or whatever, because he really didn't have. He was supposed to be this huge guy coming out of NXT, and then that fire went down. Like, I don't understand what the hell happened.
He just got caught up, and they didn't have anything for him. And he might not have quite been ready yet because he's not a strong promo. He doesn't have anything. His wrestling stands out, but
his microphone skills is in the toilet. Yeah,
there's a difference. When you're on the network, your wrestling skills, anything that's on the network, people judge it by your wrestling. When you're on USA, they judge you by your entertainment. And that's where he's got to work on his game, his entertainment. So we get a backstage promo between the Hardy Boys and Sheamus and Cesaro, a mutual respect angle. Hardy Boys, like, they can't believe that, they're back and how good everybody is in the tag team division, how much bigger, faster, stronger everybody is. So just kind of mutual respect angle. And Jeff and Cesaro are going to have a match later on tonight. Then we get our women's four-way for the number one contender. We have Sasha Banks, Mickey James, Alexa Bliss, and Nia Jax. Nia hit Sasha with the Samoa drop, but before she could get the cover, Alexa Bliss drop kicks Nia out of the ring and pins Sasha to become the number one contender for Bayley's title. I thought this match was really good. I thought it was a highlight overall to me personally. I thought that looked really well, even though they did have a couple of spots where it's a little rough here in a couple of places. Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss was the Bay matchup I didn't know I needed, but now I want it.
Yeah, man. I really want that match. And shout out to Nia Jax for stepping up in that match. Man, I tell you right now, by the year's end, I can see we'll probably get the Alexa Bliss Sasha Banks match, which is gonna be a big relief for the Raw women's brand. And we're gonna see Nia Jax really like start crushing these women, like for real.
She's got to take in and get a little couple of nuances. Like when she had Sasha in the bear hug, she's got to learn how to like flex her forearms to make it look like she's really grinding it in on her. Just a little things of being like a bigger wrestler that they kind of do to kind of show that they're much bigger, much stronger. Another thing is they're going to have so much to do with Sasha Banks because, I mean, they're teasing this turn between her and Bayley. Now they've kind of, put Alexa Bliss up in front of her to get a title shot. So, she's got that going on. She still kind of got some unfinished business with Nia. I think that Sasha's going to have a huge spring and summer and possibly fall.
I hope so. Because she's been a little bit, like, kind of just there. And I think she works better as a heel than she does as a face. So I hope that they, I know they're doing a slow burn, but I hope that the payoff for her is getting her kind of back to that level that she was when she was down at NXT and she was really the boss. Because right now it's like she's the boss, but it's just, it doesn't match what she's doing in the ring and her persona anymore. So I hope they really do kind of let her go for the summer.
Yeah, I do as well. So we get a Big Show promo in the back on his match later on the night with Braun. Kurt Hawkins is in the ring. He makes an open challenge. He says that, you know, last week he made a challenge. Big Show came out. Big Show beat him. This week he's in the main event. So he's trying to make the new main eventer for next week. And so Finn Balor comes out. Thankfully, he was cleared after Jinder Mahal gave him a concussion from that nasty forearm last week. Finn Balor versus Kurt Hawkins. We get the basic Finn Balor finish, the Sling Blade, the Dropkick of Doom, the Ultimate Kevin Sullivan hit stop, and they get the win.
Does somebody own a parrot? Like, what?
Somebody is having a good old time.
Like, it is a mood in there.
Yes, good times, good times. It is still 4:20 for 20 more minutes, you know.
That's right.
That's right. So, next you have Chris Jericho. He does a backstage promo on his match with Kevin Owens at Payback. Then all of a sudden, the Drifter just threw his promo, and Chris Jericho puts him on the list.
With a lot of alliteration.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we get Bray Wyatt. He does a promo on the House of Horrors match that nobody knows what the hell it is. It just came out this week, confirmed that it will be a non-title match.
Well, duh.
So who cares?
Yeah, like, yeah, throw that program in the garbage.
Like, rights.
Like why just even do it? Like, yeah. If they switched his brand, they really could have quit that whole program and nobody would have cared.
Yeah, and then let him fine. Like, and let him want to keep the title, and then because Brock Lesnar ain't nowhere to be found, so whatever. So either keep the title or let him work with Finn Balor. Let them two get it going.
Yeah, that would be way more entertaining than, you know, All Lives Matter Randy against against Bray.
Anybody.
Stupid.
Yeah,
like, this is just dumb. Yeah. No one cares.
This is what I think is going to happen. This is why I think Bray Wyatt went to Raw. I think once they do whatever they're going to do with TNA, Bray Wyatt is going to break Matt Hardy.
Oh.
Mm.
That could be interesting. But here's the problem with this. Like, how many people has he had come join his crew? And, like, nothing really ever comes from it. It's like he had Daniel Bryan for, like, a day.
Right.
And no one bought that. So that ended.
Nah, Daniel Bryan just looked like a bum-ass janitor.
Yeah, it looked really stupid. And then who was the next? Was the next one Randy?
Yeah, Randy.
Yeah, and then that was dumb. I mean, it worked a little bit, but it was just like, okay, we all knew he wasn't going to stay in that crew for very long.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, I guess if they're going to take Matt Hardy, are they going to let, you know, Jeff kind of rock on his own, or what's that going to be like? So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, the preliminary talks were they were going to kind of leave Jeff as he was for now. But I think that, again, just like Sasha Banks, Bray Wyatt has the opportunity to do what me and Petey have been talking about for 2 years on this podcast, is get his family as a part of the Wyatt family. Bo Dallas is still there. Bring Sister Abigail out in this match. Have her be the reason he wins.
Yeah.
Not for the title. Debut Sister Abigail here in Castle Horrors, and then bring the family together.
They should have brought, I mean, I know, I think the plan originally, at least, I don't know, I'm going to be talking in a turn, but Seth Race's girlfriend.
Oh, God.
Sister Abigail, I think that's what the plan was. And then she was an idiot and got fired because she had, like, pretty much a straight shot to being, like, a star at that point. But I think that's what they were talking about doing. And so, there's no one that – I guess now there wasn't for a while anybody down in NXT that could really fit with his crew. But now there's actually some people down there that might actually work.
Guess who I heard, Dee Dee?
Who?
The creepiest person you can think of.
No, God, no.
She would be perfect, but I don't want to have to, like, boycott. Like, I was looking through old episodes, and I realized I really did boycott Ryback for, like, a year. Like, I would really hate to have to go back to boycotting things because Rosemary comes and joins the Wyatt family, because I will pretend it didn't happen. I can't.
Well, she's not looking for TNA anymore.
He has a sister, a real life sister. Yeah, we don't need Rosemary. We don't need Rosemary. Like, cool. Like, I get it. It would have been real cute a year ago and they didn't pay attention to what I said. But, like, Mika's there. She can do it. I don't need Rosemary. She's creepy. I kind of feel like she's a harbinger of the devil. Like, I don't want to deal with her. Like, she makes me uncomfortable. Like, I would really rather, like, they just work with Mika. Maybe they can put, like, weird makeup on Mika. I won't believe it. It's different. Like, it's fine. Like, I don't... Rosemary unsettles me.
I know she does. I know she does. So we'll try to settle you down.
Why you told me that.
We had Alicia Fox, Dana, Emma backstage. Is that the comedy nerves? Those three?
Yes, they're actually funny. I saw that part.
So Emma basically is trying to, you know, play Dana and, you know, get back at her for dissing her last week. So she tells, you know, Alicia Fox that she's been talking behind her back. But we'll see where this goes. So Jeff Hardy versus Cesaro. Jeff hits the Twisted Fate and then the Swanton Bomb, and he gets the win. And then at the end of the match, they again show mutual respect and everybody shakes hands. Not as good a match as I thought it was going to be. Maybe that's because I'm thinking about Jeff Hardy from, you know, 1999.
20-year-old Jeff Hardy.
and
you know, when cocaine wasn't really a hell of a drug.
And so, yeah,
different now.
I have to readjust my standards for a Jeff Hardy match in 2017. But
yeah.
I think with a little bit more time, you know, Jeff Hardy will get back into his form. You know, WWF is a little bit different style, different ring. So,
and different kind of drugs. So, coke's out the question now. So,
yeah, he's still on cocaine. Gotta stick to edibles or something.
You can't do that. Yeah, you know, do an edible before a match, like 1,000-gram brownie.
Come on, know what measurements, all right.
So we get our main event of the evening, Braun Strowman versus. You know, after a great back and forth match, Braun gives Big Show a superplex and the ring explodes. After a few seconds, Braun struggles and finally gets to his feet and gives out the big roar and leaves the Big Show being attended to in the collapsed ring.
I mean, the Big Show's 50, though. So
this is true.
Yeah, he's almost out the door. So, you know, you gotta get Braun Strowman to look like a total monster, you know.
But I appreciate that they made Braun look good without making the Big Show look bad.
Yeah,
right.
Like for some reason, them two they've had two killer matches.
Well, during the time when Braun was like off TV, remember how he was with the Wyatt family, and then all of a sudden they did the draft, and then he wasn't on TV for like a little minute. Yeah. Well, apparently that whole time he was wrestling between basically Mark Henry and Kane every night on the house shows. That's kind of where this chemistry has come from with the Big Show.
Wow, damn.
So yeah. That's good. That's so smart.
Yes, that's real smart. And plus
WWE knows what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And his other dance partner, Roman Outrun, DCR Reigns, they got a good chemistry too. So
shout out to the referee, John Cohen, for
is he okay?
Nah, he dead. It's over. It's a wrap. Okay? It's a wrap.
I'm worried about him.
Yeah,
is he in a neck brace? Like, what do we got going on?
Now, afterwards, he did have a big-ass ice pack on his neck, but...
yeah, I bet.
He is okay. I did hear from him. He wasn't up quite as upright as he probably liked to be in the video that I saw, but yes, he was breathing and had his faculties about him.
It's almost like he wasn't where he was supposed to be, because he was...
Yeah, he was
like, ooh, like, he flipped off, like, whoa.
I was like, oh, shit, there it is. Go put him next to Reigns in the hospital.
Just getting back to the Roman Reigns thing, and just kind of the angle they did with Ron and the ambulance and everything, and coming back and attacking him. I just was off Easter Monday, of course. Thank you for the holiday, federal government. And
wait. You had what day off?
Monday, ma'am.
What for?
Easter Monday.
That ain't no federal holiday.
Well, it's a holiday where I work, so thank you.
I
Oh, it must be nice.
Yeah, I wish I could know what that life is like.
It was nice. So
certainly you had to work on Monday.
So I was watching a Monday Night Raw that was basically like 20 years ago from like this week. And it was basically Stone Cold and Bret Hart. They had an angle where they had just had the Revenge of the Taker match and Bret had won, but they were going to have a street fight. So eventually they get to have the street fight. Bret, this is when Bulldog and Owen are running with Bret Hart. They're kind of forming that Canadian Heart Foundation, New Heart Foundation. Well, anyway, they start the street fight. Well, Stone Cold gets a chair and beats the Jesus out of Bret Hart. Like his knees, his arms, I mean, like his whole body. He is just like beating him to death with this chair. So they have to wheel Bret Hart out. Of course, they're wheeling Bret Hart out. They're getting him out of the ring. And Bret Hart's like, watch my leg, god damn it. Just loud as hell. And Vince is like, oh, we'll have to apologize for the language. So they wheel him to the back or whatever. So they show Stone Cold back by the ambulance or whatever. He's talking to Gorilla Monsoon. Gorilla Monsoon's like, get out of here. You know, get away from here. You know, you've done enough. So they're back in the ambulance or whatever, and then they get ready to take off, but Stone's ambulance seat. And of course, he's beating down Bret while he's strapped in. And it was like, I bet you somebody watched this the same time that I did. And it was like, I wonder what they did, get some ideas to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of worked the same way it did for Roman, the same way it did for Bret. It didn't cause no sympathy at all. It just made Stone Cold just, you know, made the legend grow more and more and more. And speaking of Brian Pillman at the end of the night, when Stone Cold was having an interview with Vince McMahon, jumps the rail and gets some revenge on Stone Cold, because this was after the ankle incident and everything. That was like the real sure enough jump off to the Attitude Era and Stone Cold and Raw's War and all that stuff was starting to happen right there, right after that was like April 21st, 1997. So it's pretty good stuff.
I'm so happy you on Monday Night Raw. Oh, yeah, I'm so excited. Yes.
What's up, Apollo, man?
What's up, Titus?
How are you, man? Congratulations. I heard the big news. You're about to be a father.
Oh, man, it's awesome. I'm feeling great, man. I'm about to be a father for the first time, and I'm back on Monday Night Raw, man. It's awesome.
Now, tell me this. What do you plan on doing to make an impact on Monday Night Raw?
Come on, Titus. You know I'm all about that hard work, man. I'm about to keep kicking doors until eventually I knock one down.
Come on, man.
What?
You got all the talent in the world, and that's all you want to do? You see, this is exactly why you need to link up with the Titus Brand.
Titus Brand?
You see, the Titus Brand can take your career and skyrocket it, both inside and outside of WWE.
How's that?
Easy. Think about this. Somebody wants to go on a family vacation or spring break, they can hop aboard the Apollo Cruise. And while they're on that cruise, they can get jiggy to a little bit of Apollo Blues. And if they hurt themselves getting jiggy to that Apollo Blues, guess what? We got our own law firm. They can dial 1-800-APOLLO-SUE. Now, I know all of this sounds crazy, man, right now, but listen, take my card, all right? Me and you link up. I can assure you we're going to go to the next level. Them diapers ain't cheap. Think about it.
Hey, everyone. This is your man, Jeremy, from the Crown and Collars podcast. Just reminding you that you are listening to a CSPN media presentation, and to check out Crown of Collars every Wednesday so we can tell you what your aunt does when you're not around.
All right, Didi, well, let's get into what everybody came to hear about. Hashtag SmackDown Matters.
SmackDown does matter, but you know, since it's tax day, and I was up last
time. You was up there trying to get straight with Uncle Sam?
Listen, and then I'm not one to tell my business.
You didn't want Bray Wyatt's daddy to show up at your house.
Listen, the federal government owes me money. Guess how much? I'll tell you, I don't care. But guess
how much, Didi?
Guess.
72 cents.
Okay, come on, V, come on.
$1,000.
$1,000. Come on, new boy. Come on.
$5,000.
They owe me $2.
Oh, yes. The price is right.
You be coming on down. Yes, the closest one without going over. Yes, okay, but DC owes me a lot of money. But I don't know if like that's really going to happen. So like I'm just waiting for my direct deposit to be like, bitch, you got money. Right? So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I was busy. So I was watching, but I wasn't watching because, you know, I was like trying to fill out that W-2, trying to E-file, do all that good shit. But I was watching. So what had happened was there was a recap. And after the recap, Charlotte's there looking like she's somebody who anybody cares about. She ain't. Oh, there was a graphic for Rosie. So see, I missed that. So Charlotte's like, yeah, maybe they're watching Fast and the Furious. And so she's like, they're gonna give me a title match. And then Naomi comes out and she's like, don't be a white girl. Don't be basic. Do better. And so then she beats up Charlotte. And then Shane's music hits. He breaks up the brawl. And he books a non-title match. Says if Charlotte wins, she gets the title shot. After commercial, Shane is talking to Natty. She's mad that Charlotte got an opportunity before her. And he's like, well, girl, all you had to do was ask. It's like, well, and then Carmella comes up with Young Chinless. He's like, yeah, yeah, I'm mad too. And Ellsworth is like, yeah, she deserved one before anyone. And then Tamina comes and everybody's mad. And then Natty says she has a plan. And then, you know, things, they happen.
I really like that. Let's do some fashion cast. I don't know what you call that. I guess that's lime green.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that Naomi wears?
Mm-hmm. That she had on when it came out. Yeah, it was popping. And the slide.
Is it the pants that she's been wearing? Because I don't know if I like the pants.
Oh, yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, those pants were pretty good.
I think the WWE needs to do right by Naomi, and her entire belt needs to glow. Like, I know
that would be fun.
Her nameplate, mm-hmm. her name glows, but it looks, I mean, when they turn the lights down, her entire belt, like, you should be able to see her entire belt from everywhere in that stadium.
I would enjoy that.
Lights go out. I wish they would just do that already.
Yeah, it's a great idea, but I kind of feel like they're in, like, already, girl, you already have the biggest hair budget, you got the biggest clothing budget, you have the most clothes, because they're different every week.
I mean,
actually, like, you can't have everything.
I mean, Charlotte comes out there with a brand new robe almost every.
Yeah, them shits is ugly though. So like that.
But they're expensive as hell.
Are they?
And she
found some Chinese people on Canal Street and get it together. Like I don't. Because it is looking kind of cheap, girl. I don't care. That people world is ugly.
Yeah, yeah. That's
awful.
Yeah, like I wouldn't even put that on my carpet.
Another hot shot angle from WWE. We definitely don't need this so soon. We could definitely like let it build up, but
correct.
It's here now. It's here now.
Yeah, I think it is kind of dumb that she went right from the title picture in Raw and then walked right into it.
Yeah, it's like you got to get out here and earn something. You can't just be like, I want things because I'm a basic Caucasian girl.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm sorry. This is Trump's America. I blame everything on white people. It's
No. It's fine. It's all good because that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what. It's like, yo, what the fuck? Like, get her away from the title for a while. She got her five titles. Let's chill out for a minute.
And you're a loser. Shoot, I had the title when you got here. Oh, wait. That's right. You lost to the.
Yeah. You lost to fucking. Yeah, barely. So.
You lost to a Mexican. Build that wall, huh? Yeah. See? This is from America.
If Naomi loses her belt to Charlotte, and I think Charlotte is probably one of the best heels they have on the roster.
Yeah, it's happening.
But she's clearly going to lose that.
But it's just going to be a joke if she does that. Yeah. And I hate that. I love Naomi's a face right now, but I really wish they would let Naomi and the Usos kind of rock together.
Yeah.
With their belts, like that would be so dope. I don't know why they won't do that, but I mean, I guess it doesn't work with their characters, but that would be. I would love to see that.
That would be fine because then Naomi get on the mic and be spitting facts and.
Yeah,
and just
I felt like when she called Young Chinless, that was all we really needed to know about Naomi. Like she can do it.
Yeah,
she could do it if they let her just be herself and not have to try and be all proper and speak like.
They got to remember like this between the Samoans and the black wrestlers, they don't.
It is the same thing.
They all black, so they don't need to be having these scripts. Just like, yo, just give them bullet points. Just be like, yo, just touch this any way you want, and then you know you let, because the Usos right now they killing it right now, Like, I don't care about any other tag team, and they just need to let Naomi just be like, yo, screw the face, screw being a face, just show. Yeah. Get on this mic, and like give these girls this high five.
Yeah, I've been saying for some time now, because just going back and watching older wrestling, that might work as much as in ring work week to week to week. So they should concentrate, they should shift their focus and let people talk a little bit more and get their personalities out and win a whole bunch of matches. Don't show us every match you then try to show it to us as many ways and then show it to us on a pay-per-view at the end of the month. Make it fresh. So when we see it, it's like the first time we see it is a big deal, and it won't be so like, oh, well, they did this on SmackDown 6 weeks ago.
Right, because they had that problem. They had that problem with the Raw Women's Division. They had this title program between against Charlotte and Sasha, and it got stale quick, because every week we saw the high profile matches on Raw, and then when we got the pay per view, it was like, oh, all right, I really don't care. Like the Hell in a Cell match, great match, but just like, yo, we saw that, we saw them two go at it on Monday. Why are y'all giving us this match again?
You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they had this other thing going where it was like, well, Sasha went on Monday and she'll lose at the pay-per-view. So,
yeah, exactly.
Like, it all became very, like, paint by numbers. So, yeah, they really kind of need to rethink their booking and make sure that things don't get stale. But moving on, the next match of the night was a six-pack challenge to earn a WWE title shot at the Backlash. The people involved were Jinder Mahal, Sami Zayn.
Hardbody Mahal.
or HGH Mahal.
Hashtag never hinder gender. What are y'all talking about? Nobody diets like Jinder Mahal. Nobody trains like Jinder Mahal. You want to know why? Ask him. He'll tell you.
That's actually very brilliant on his part. Like, it makes him such an asshole and you want to hate him, but I'm on board with gender. I'm like, I'm all about it. Let the guy rock a little bit. If he's gonna beat Randy Orton, I'm 100%.
Well, then there's that, but then it's just like, you're never gonna let him beat Randy Orton. Are you for real? It's just some of those things where you get into this thing where you can't even just watch it. You're just like, are you really gonna do that? Like, you can't even enjoy it.
No. Well, I read something today, like, they're the WWE just got in bed with WWE India, they might let him rock a little bit and actually let him, I don't know, maybe they'll let him carry it, or maybe at least carry it until they go to India, and then he drops it when he comes back or something, but they might do it.
Because I could see him beating All Lives Matter Orton, because I can see that happening, because like WWE has this habit, they play in the pop culture and society, and they just like, all right, Orton, we're gonna let this guy beat you. Like, you gotta eat this.
Orton is so boring right now. Like, he doesn't even really get that much of a reaction when he comes out to the crowd anymore. Like,
you know, we just want to see the RKO. But back to this match that y'all clearly don't care about. Ziggles. Eric Rowan. We're talking
about the winner.
No, I know. Let me get there. Eric Rowan, Luke Harper, and Mojo of the Hype. Everybody gives us a little bit of shine. There's a Tope Suicida that Luke Harper does.
Shout out tomorrow.
Rowan hits a powerbomb off Ziggles. Sammy does a slingshot moonsault to the floor. So everybody gets their shine. Sammy's running wild on Mahal when two unknown men grab Sammy by the feet to cut off his momentum. They're the Bollywood Boys, but they're not known by that here anymore, according to what I read. They're like the Somebody Brothers or some shit. The Singh Brothers. See, look, I know something. Yeah. So, that's what they're going to be known as, but y'all would know them as the Bollywood Boys. Mahal was able to apply a Cobra Clutch. Then he lifted Sammy off his feet, slammed him down, pinned Sammy for the three count, earned the shot at Backlash. Afterwards, Renee talks to Jinder. Don't nobody care, so he's getting booze. And then he's like, oh, look at you, born the Indian. Y'all are racist. I don't know. I'm assuming that's what he said. That's what I would have said. And then after the promo, Randy Orton walks on stage, and then he cuts a promo. And then Bray Wyatt's music hits, and there's some more House of Horrors, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada kind of stuff. Then there's a video package of Shinsuke Nakamura, and it doesn't matter, but video package and it's Nakamura, it always matters.
I love that they're like
really like giving us a slow burn with his first match on TV.
Yo, I told them last week, I was like, do you know how epic it is to me that Shinsuke Nakamura came out last week, mouthpiece on, no match.
Yep.
Like, he just went out to dance and flirt with the bitches, but I had a mouthpiece on.
I'm here. Yep.
But like, I'm ready. Who am I? I'm going to tell you who I am with my mouthpiece on. Yes.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't wrestle on TV. I hope it doesn't show him wrestle at all until the actual payback.
Yeah, because with Shinsuke, that's a once in a lifetime talent. You could really
milk him. Yeah,
yeah, you milk the shit out of him because like and I've been saying this on like I've been predicting this for a while. He could be the first Japanese WWE champion
for sure.
With all this, like he's on a hot streak right now and. I like that WWE's giving us this slow burn, like build him to be like this, be like AJ's number two. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, so it's a slow burn. I'm glad they're not putting him on, letting him wrestle on SmackDown yet. Like let this burn. This burn.
It's like the ones who know him are hype. And then like, you're slowly getting to know him if you didn't know him. Right. He wins because he has like epic theme music anyway. So it's like, it gets you like, who, what?
Mm-hmm. He's like the most charismatic person who doesn't
very
have
much
to speak.
That.
Like he
very
doesn't even have
that,
to talk.
Yes.
It just the way he moves his body is like entertaining as hell.
Very Michael Jackson, yeah, all that.
Yeah,
like I told the story. One of my friends texted me. She was like, "Who's this Asian man in the ring dressed like Michael Jackson?" And I was like, "Oh, it's Nakamura." She was like, "I love him," and I was like, "That's exactly the correct answer." Yeah, the things they happen. Next
is and Renee.
No.
What happened between there?
Oh yeah. Don't nobody care about AJ. Listen,
I care about AJ Styles.
Yeah,
he
was just talking. He wasn't doing nothing. That's just Southern. You like that little Southern accent? He said Renee asked AJ who he wanted to face. Did he want to face Chris Jericho or Kevin Owens? AJ said it didn't matter because he's got home field advantage because he is the face that runs the place, right? One of
the
them. So then the champ that runs the camp, SmackDown is the house that AJ built, all those things. So then Baron interrupts the interview. He says some things that ends up in a match for later tonight. Are you happy, Don?
I'm very happy now. Thank you.
You
know how I feel about Baron Corbin, too.
I do, yeah. And you know how I feel about him and his pitiful hairline.
Yes.
Yeah.
I heard somebody today on a podcast say that, he would probably should just go ahead and bald it on out. Just
that is correct.
Save it on off. And
like, I don't know why the men, it's almost like they want to like let it fly in the breeze, but it's like, but your edges don't exist.
It's a hard thing for a man to let go of his hair.
But you can't be like Stevie Wonder. Don't do it to yourself. Let it go. Let it go. Like, you probably have a nice shaped head. It's fine. It's okay. Let it go. No? But it would be... It would be better than the horseshoe action that he's got going on right now.
Yeah,
I
think the problem is guys don't realize that when you're going bald, long hair is the worst thing for you. If he cut it short,
yeah,
he probably would be okay. It's just this long, stringy, to the good old days.
Because the problem is it's just like it's really long because I can't grow it thick, so I'm just going to keep what I got. Like,
yeah.
It's not like this is a style. It's just like I have a friend. I've got stories. I've got a friend. He had long curly hair, but he always wore a hat to work. I was like, "When are you ever just going to not wear your hat to work?" He was like, "I have a bald spot." And I said, "How big is the bald spot?" He was like, "Big." And I was like, "Okay, so why don't you cut your hair?" He was like, like all that. Like he would rather wear a ponytail all the days of his life as opposed to just cutting his hair. And it's like, just cut your fucking hair, dude. Like,
yeah, I'm watching this promo right now, and Baron actually is an attractive guy with a hat on.
With a hat on. Because a hat is a scam just like beards are.
It really is.
Okay? You hear me?
It is.
Yeah, beards are scams.
It is.
You're not slick. You try to have that elsewhere shit. I know you do.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yep.
I know you do.
Because AJ Styles without a beard looks like he looks terrible too. Like, yeah, you got
looks like a child without a beard.
Yeah. Seth was not as hot as he is now without that beard.
Hell, even fine ass Roman was finer with the beard.
Yeah, with the beard. Yep.
Yeah. It's a cheat code, and I know it. You're not getting over on me. No. But okay, so before the women's match, Natty's in the back with all the other girls, kind of staring Charlotte down as she walks by.
giving her the stink eye and things. Charlotte blocks the rear view and uses her finisher to beat Naomi to the shock of literally nobody. So, yeah, she,
wait, one second, time out. Ellsworth actually has a beard, or he's trying, like,
I bet he is trying to grow one. Do you know how expensive chin implants are? You gotta go the cheapest route.
It's like, what is it growing on to? Because there's nothing. Well, it's not there. Well, it's so bad.
Just a second chin.
This is so bad.
He does have a double chin, which is funny because you don't have the first one. But it's like, yeah, there's skin there.
Something.
Slapping in the wind. Oh, look, he might need to be like that. Like that guy on America's Next Top Model. Get that lace front beard.
Oh God.
Wow.
Yes, that happened one season.
It did happen.
Wow. I didn't know they make lace front beards. Wow.
They make lace front eyebrows.
They do. Yeah. They do. They do.
I mean, I know that LeBron right now is putting Beijing beards because he's not rocking his headband during the playoffs.
Ooh, LeBron,
but, I mean, let it go. Just shave the ball. Let it go.
Like, you are too famous, too popular, too rich, too talented. Be bald.
To be putting shoe polish in your hair. Yeah.
It's gotta be better to just be bald. Like it and then it drips, and then it's just a mess. And we all know you're doing it because we know where your hairline really is. Like, just let it go.
Yeah, his hairline left when he first signed with the NBA. So
he was like 12. First of all, he was like 18 looking 50 in the first fucking place. So it's no wonder that his hair like was on a different schedule, you know?
Yeah. Like, he looked like somebody's dad. Like,
yeah. Him and that other one that didn't end up doing anything. They both look like somebody's grandpa their first year.
Craig Oden.
Yes. Yeah. I knew how I knew it. Yes.
He looked like,
they both look like uncles. They first year.
Yeah. Like, Greg Oden looked like he's standing on the block with a pair of keys in the van.
Greg Oden was the kind of dude that you could be like, why don't you go to the gas station and get us some beers? And he'd be like, but I'm underage. And they'd be like, it's fine. They won't charge you. You just go. It's fine. Come back with all the drinks. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So after the match, Charlotte walked by like, and gives them a woo, and they're still looking stank. Hold on.
I was so pissed. She's talking about, I got a plan, so the match is going on, and it's like, okay.
Her plan was to look stink. She's Canadian. They're like, violent people.
I know next week.
You've seen Sammy.
I know next week she better have something better up her sleeve than she had this week. Because we got to keep Nate Bay as a champion at all costs.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Because it looks like they, like, E wants to put the belt back on white privilege.
Trump's America. Yeah. Tiffany Trump. Oh, Ivanka Trump.
If they want to put the belt back on a blonde chick or a white girl, I would, if it had to be somebody, I'd rather them put it on Natty at least. Like, let her do something.
She deserves. She's been through a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Hasn't got a broken neck. She got 15 cats.
Like, she's training all these chicks to get up here. Like, she built this division, if you really think about it. She's trained every single one of these girls. So, let her have a moment where she's not, you know...
Give Natty Bo some shine.
Yeah, if they're going to take the belt off Natty, that would be the... that'd be the person that I'd be like, okay, I'm okay with it.
I can get with that.
Yeah, like...
Personally, I'd be okay with Carmella just because I love Carmella. Listen, I don't claim to think that Carmella's, like, good in the ring or anything, but ever since she, like, started bouncing on the ring ropes to tell on Natty... I loved everything about her.
I just can't rock with Carmella's ring. Like, her music is, it's so, like...
But she snitched so happily. She snitched so happily. Like, it gave me joy. Like, as a petty person. Like, it just was just like, oh, I would do that.
Isn't it funny?
That would be me.
Isn't it funny? Like, they do all these things. They cut these promos. They think about all these matches and all these cool moves. And you turn the leaf on Carmella just because of how she was bouncing on the ropes.
Yeah, I promise. When she was like, but Nikki, and I was like, what is she doing? And I was like, well, she told! And then it ended up being true. I was like, oh, that's my girl. Like, I don't know why. Oh, because I'm petty. I know why. I'm petty as hell. So I would do some shit like that. I would do some shit where it's like, you pissing me off, and I'd be like, but I know things you don't know, and I'm gonna tell you. Like, I would do some shit like that. For sure.
Just have a cup of tea with you in the ring.
It just brought joy to my spirit. Like, she was just so happy. Okay, anyway.
let's move on. There was a match between American Alpha and they're not called the Shining Stars anymore at the moment. They're in kind of the flux.
They're called the Colognes.
So yeah, they're just the Colognes.
The Bodega Owners.
They still don't have Carlito with them, so I don't really understand.
How many gimmicks have they gone through?
Two. I think two or three.
There was the masked one. There was the...
El Matadores.
Yeah.
And yeah, masked was El Matadores. Shining Stars were the timeshare salesmen.
Right.
And then...
Now, whatever they are. Now.
Yeah, and then this one. Which
what,
is,
like, who thought a timeshare
salesman was who you a think?
Good idea?
Who you think? But, Vince.
I mean, like, it's low-key racist and low-key, like, so that's, dumb.
That's all Vince right there.
It's the same guy who thought three black guys being preachers coming out, being positive, was going to be over.
Yeah.
I just...
That guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, you know...
See, that's the difference between everybody else and the New Day. The New Day was like, we ain't doing shit. Vince, can we do something? He was like, nah. So they was like, okay. Then they just kept hanging around each other, and he would always see them together. So then he was like, okay, let's do something. It was like, yes. Then he pitched the shit to him, and they was like, ugh. So they went out there and tried to make it work, and then they was like, you know what, man? We just going to do our own thing, and if you don't like it, what can you do? So, break us back up?
Right. And then they wound up being one of the top draws in the company. Weird how that works.
Yeah, by letting guys
weird how themselves. They on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be lit. A program between them and the Usos.
Yeah, yo. Like, don't let the fact that this match is with the Colognes fool you. SmackDown won. Yeah, so anyway, Epico beat Jordan.
Yeah,
he rolled him up. Yeah. Shocking, huh? So yeah.
Man, ever since JBL told Chad Gable they need to get rid of the towel, American Alpha ain't had it, man. That the towel was the thing. They just come out there and finish the promo and just be willing and Gable and flip the towel down. That was the shit. And then JBL was like, man, you guys are here now. You got the belts. You don't need the towel. And ever since then.
Wait, was this on? They
listened to that? Or was this
they listened to Glassjaw Layfield.
This was on Talking Smack one night.
Yeah.
Like, so they were on Talking Smack and he was like, you don't need the towel. And they were like, oh, you're right. And they had him brought out the towel.
Yeah.
That is dumb. Right? How are you going
to? Why would you listen to a white man in Trump's America? You see how it all goes back to Trump's America.
Why
don't you listen?
That's why I call him Glassjaw Layfield.
You don't listen to certain people.
Like,
why would you listen to JBL?
Like, you got to the WWE from NXT because of that. Like, that towel was, like, your thing. And you get up there and you totally, like, forget what got, like, come on now.
Can I be perfectly honest with you? I feel like this is a safe space. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I've never seen a towel.
You've never seen the towel? It's
not a part of my storyline. Like, I don't know about a towel. I've missed it. Yeah. I don't know.
Chad Gable would have the, you know how John Cena...
It's Chad Gable, the white one.
Yeah.
But his would say ready, willing, and Gable, you know, the player.
Oh, that's
Able.
So corny. I love that, though.
Right. And so, at the end, so, you know, they would do their promos, and Jason Jordan promo, right? So kind of Gable would kind of lead him through it, and then at the end, he would always lead him for weeks, he would never say it. And then to say it, and then he dropped the towel out, and it was like the biggest pop ever because Jason Jordan finally got with it and ended the promo by saying ready, willing, so he could flip the towel down, and then that became like the whole part of the promo and their match and stuff. And then
I missed all that. I've never seen
JBL was out. Like JBL was like, well, now that's all the titles that you know, you guys don't need that. You
get okay, but see, here's the thing about biracial butterflies, right? They always want to listen to the white side.
And they really should have.
It is. You can listen to white people, but JBL is like
not the white guy to listen to. If you're going to listen to a white guy, it is not cowboy boots.
He's not the
wearing.
Because he's
like, once JBL cut off his black hair and stopped hanging with Ron Simmons on TV, like, that was your time to stop listening.
Because let's be 100%, like, the only reason JBL really did get over it was because of the black guy. Like, him being with Ron Simmons was the reason anybody really cared. Like, him and he had a good clothesline. Like, that's it. Like, that was, and until he became JBL. But originally, it was like, him being with Ron Simmons was why anybody actually cared.
Yeah.
But also,
I'll tell you, American Alpha went to the hat.
I want black hair. And damn, like, that's what I want.
American Alpha should have totally been traded to Raw.
Yeah. So they could interact with
her. Like, that is a major, major, total misstep.
Well, maybe Shelton Benjamin, he has been cleared to wrestle and stuff again. So maybe, I don't know if he signed, well, obviously he didn't sign the contract because they figured out that he was hurt. But now that he's back for, able to, wrestle again, maybe he'll sign the contract and then he'll come to SmackDown and kind of be their mentor.
That would have been cool. I also would have kind of liked them to go over to Raw and kind of been like Kurt's enforcer.
Yeah, his backup. Yeah.
And like,
that would have been cool.
Yeah. So when
yeah, start drum. Somebody start drum.
But putting on my producer hat, Daniel's going to have to leave because the baby's going to come.
I don't think he'll come back after the baby is born.
Right, but if he leaves and if Stephanie comes back, because Stephanie's not really injured, we could always explain Kurt Angle coming to SmackDown. True. As him taking over for Daniel. And then you could still get your enforcer, you're working with American Alpha, your Russell, you can still get that going.
World's Greatest Tag Team 2.0.
Yes. It's lit. Okay, so next. Lana's still a dancer.
Ooh, yeah.
And it's I saw a video of her at the live show. It was a tragedy.
She looks like she can't dance. And I'm like, weren't you like a professional? Like,
but dancing and choreographing are two totally different things.
So yeah,
maybe she can do what people tell her to do. But when she's doing it by herself, she dances like Flavor Flav. Anyway, there was a video package for Ty Dillinger. He's still the perfect 10. Next, Owens cuts a promo about how he's from Canada. It matters. And he's doing an open challenge for the belt that he has. And the challenger is Gary Gandy. He's from Louisville, which is apparently where they were at.
So you mean to tell me there's not one person who's actually on the roster who was sitting backstage that couldn't come out and actually do that, like face
them? None of them were from Louisville, girl.
And, like,
we want hometown pops.
I guess.
We want hometown pops so that Owens can do the pop-up powerbomb. You see how I do
it? And he can cut that promo. See, this was all about the promo and being obnoxious.
I have it on mute.
And speaking of obnoxious, Kevin Owens calls himself the face of America. That is his new intro when he comes out to the ring, complete with face of America, the red, white, and blue, and a sneer. Like, close up photo of his face. It's perfect, right?
Do we know if it's a Trump supporter? Do we know?
Who? Kevin Owens, the person, or Kevin Owens, the
person? Character?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure the character is.
Yeah.
But then again, he doesn't like stupid people, so maybe not.
Because that would probably make that gimmick be different if I knew, like, in real life.
Like, if he, like, really meant it. But I feel like you can't be, because in my head they're still actually best friends.
The kayfabe, right?
Like you can't be friends with Sami Zayn
and Seth Rollins,
special Caucasian. You can't be friends with like special Caucasian Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins and be like, oh, but I'm a Trump supporter.
Yeah, because
even though I'm not really an American, they please support me and my halfway Arabic friend. Like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So yeah, I think you're smart with that. And like,
Sammy's like three, like a little bit, almost kind of, sort of those Syrians. Like, you can't be a Trump supporter. No.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas Jefferson owned people and slept with black people, so that doesn't really mean anything either. So,
well, I mean, there's that.
So,
but I mean, like, there's like the, like black people. They're like those black people. He's like,
Rita,
black people should be free. Y'all over there should be real free.
Yeah.
Y'all still got to tell my land bitches, like, what you doing? Oh.
But based on Kevin Owens' little tweet about Syria, nah, he's not a Trump supporter. If anything, we got to get at All Lives Matter Orton. That's the Trump supporter right there.
Oh, we already know.
Okay.
See, black people thought they had a friend because he took a picture with Migos. He was probably just like, black people, sure. You know, like, don't read into it, but I believe in Kevin.
Okay.
Because I don't stand for stupid people. You know, they may be heels.
Yeah, but they're not Republicans.
Usually not Republicans.
No.
So, yeah, pop up, powerbomb, blah blah blah. He ends up speaking in French. Final match of the night is AJ versus Baron Corbin. The things they happen. They're outside of the ring. Corbin charges at AJ. He moves out of the way, and Corbin throws himself into the ring post.
They're fighting. There's a flying forearm for a two count. There's a backbreaker for another near fall. There's a calf crusher, which I would prefer to call the calf. No, that is what I want to call it. Yeah, alliteration. Then Baron got a rope break. There's a deep six for another two count. AJ sends Corbin outside. He hooks Corbin and glares at Owens because he's at the commentator's booth talking mad shit, as you do. And then Baron backdrops AJ on to Kevin. He tries to capitalize, but Styles hits an enziguri at ringside. Then he follows by leaping off the steps for his signature forearm smash. They're doing the 10 count. AJ makes it back into the ring. AJ wins via count out. And he is still the next challenger for the U.S. title.
Yeah, AJ Styles, the biggest babyface run in the next 6 months WWE has seen in a long time. Because people want to cheer him so bad.
We love AJ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody gets bigger applause.
Pop.
Yeah, right. I think people who were there was like Nakamura is the only other person who got.
Yeah, and Nakamura is new, so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we'll see how it goes 6 months from now. I'm sure it's gonna be good, but you know.
Yeah, that's gonna be good, and then they're gonna go at it, and then it's gonna be the biggest feud in WWE.
Yeah, if they give us a match like they gave us at the beginning of 2015. It's gonna be amazing. So at this point, something else that is amazing are the sponsors here that we have on the CSPN.us. Please support them. Go to our website, click on the menu, scroll down, and support our sponsors. It's that time of the year where graphic t-shirts are going to be the thing. Go shop on Busty Tees, get you some cool shirts with some cool designs. You know, impress your friends this year when you're at the cookouts, at the barbecues, hanging around the pool, have something smart on your chest. You never know, it could be a conversation starter to a relationship that lasts throughout the summer. Have a summer fling just by visiting Busty Tees and get through CSPN.us. So we're going to go 205 Live NXT rapid fire style. 205 Live, Akira Tozawa versus Tony Nese. Brian Kendrick comes down to ringside. He tries to distract Tozawa, but the ref sees him and thwarts the attempt that allows Tozawa to give Nese a sunset flip, and he gets the win. After the match, Nese attacks Kendrick for costing him the match. And Tozawa gives Brian Kendrick lesson number 3, which is sometimes you need eyes in the back of your head. And then Tozawa laughs mockingly. We get Alicia Fox and Rich Swann in the ring. They're doing the promo. Rich and Noam Dar. Then Alicia comes down. Alicia Fox breaks up with Noam Dar in the ring. Basically, she says she's been using him. She thought that he was going to be the new star of 205 Live, but she found out that he was immature and that he couldn't cook in all rooms. Or whatever that meant. Alicia says it's time to give Rich what he deserves, but Rich cuts her off. Rich says that remember Cedric Alexander, that this is his best friend, and Fox broke his heart for that Euro trash. Swann then tells Fox that the world knows what kind of person she is. Then Fox goes off on Rich while mocking the crowd and their what chance. I think she handled the what chance pretty good. Alicia Fox does crazy like nobody's business. Then we get a backstage of Daivari arriving to the building. He's in a Corvette looking all flossy. We get the match between Mustafa Ali versus Daivari. Ali looks to get ready to finish off Daivari when Drew Gulak comes down to the ring to protest his high-flying moves. This distracts Mustafa Ali, which allows Daivari to hit a variation of then Gulak states after the match, the 205 has a great future, but it's not going to be built on Ali's reckless high-flying style. Did you get your drink in there, Dee Dee?
I did.
All right. Next up, main event time, Austin Aries versus TJ Perkins. After escaping a last chance, Reed Perkins rolls to the floor. Aries rolls him back in, but then this allows TJ Perkins to drop kick the ropes into the face of Austin Aries. Austin Aries escapes the detonation kick, then hits the rolling forearm to get the win. Neville comes down, and then he brawls with Austin Aries. Aries gets the last chance read on Neville, but that allows TJ Perkins to make the save. Then Neville and Perkins put the boots to Aries. Perkins hits the detonation kick, and Neville locks on the rings of Neville, and they leave Austin Aries laid out. And that is how we ended 205-5. The matches on this show are really good. It's just that the atmosphere is so blah that it's hard for you to even get into it, even though the matches are very good. And they have some kind of weak storylines right now, too. It'd just be better if they just let them just wrestle and just go crazy. It would probably get the crowd into it more than, you know, what they're doing currently. But
right, like kind of like WCW's Cruiserweight division.
Right. So, see, the thing with the Cruiserweights, and I've said this multiple times on the show, is not everybody wrestles the way Cruiserweights do. See, back in the day, nobody wrestled that way, you know. So, like, when you watch Kevin Owens, he does the same thing that Rick Swann can do.
It's Cruiserweights. Right.
Right. So, it's no difference. So, unless they go and just let him go just super ridiculous.
Because I would just be like, yo, just, all right, Cruiserweights, today and for the rest of your careers, y'all just going to go ape shit. Like, just go ape shit, you know. Instead of wrestling,
right, that's the only way.
Instead of wrestling like the heavyweight talent, you know.
Right, right. That's the only way that's gonna really stand out and make it shine. Is it's gotta be different. That's why the CWC was so cool. Is because they let them go and do their big. Everybody got to do two or three of their biggest moves in every match, and so it was different. So, all right. Next on to my favorite show of them all, NXT. The show begins with Bobby Roode giving an in-ring promo on how he was the biggest attraction during WrestleMania weekend. He says that by beating Nakamura, he cleaned out what was left of the old NXT. Hideo and Tommy then comes out, and Hideo and Tommy and Roode have a stare down. In memory of Charlie Murphy, Hideo Tommy slaps Bobby Roode, giving the five fingers to the face. Roode fires up while he's taking off his jacket. He's like, you know, oh, so he's just going to come out here and slap me? You just come out here and slap me, huh? So he's taking off his jacket. He's loosening up his buttons on his sleeves. He's like, I guess you know, while you were hurt, things have changed around here. I guess you didn't get the memo. So he finally takes off his watch, and then Bobby Roode charges Hideo, but Hideo puts him up on his shoulders and catches Roode with the GTS and leaves Bobby Roode laid out. So we get a backstage promo between Tyler Bate and Jack Gallagher. And they're promoting their match next week that's going to be on NXT for the UK Championship. And I'm basically going to be the Michael Jackson gift with the popcorn in the movie theater next week for that match. That's
really good. It's going to be a hard-hitting match.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. And when we come back from the break, Bobby Roode is still laid out in the ring. He's being checked out by the medical staff. Roode finally makes his way to his feet, and the Full Sail crowd is singing, Bobby, are you okay? Bobby, are you okay? Are you okay, Bobby? Bobby, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Bobby? So, yeah, that was pretty good.
I have to go watch that. That's funny.
Yeah, I got to watch that.
Yeah, it was good. Like, you won't be able to really sit down, but, like, right at the very end, you'll probably be able to catch it when they're saying it. But, yeah, it's really good. Then we get some cell phone video from the Performance Center. We're seeing Almas interrupts Drew McIntyre's workout, which sets up a match between the two next week. But this week, seeing Almas is wrestling Danny Burch. Seeing Almas hits the running with his hammerlock DDT, and he gets the win. Then we get this cool Asuka video package on her title reign in NXT. Basically shows basically all her matches that she's had in NXT as a champion. And then all the women in the division are giving their testimony on how awesome Asuka is and what it's like to feel her power and feel her kicks and everything. But then they all say that she's also gotten cocky and that she's right to beat, and each woman in the division feels that she is the one who can beat Asuka. Then we get a video package of the Ty Dillinger versus Sanity feud. Then we have Liv Morgan and Aaliyah versus Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, the Iconic. Aaliyah and Liv get the upset win when Aaliyah's pinned Peyton Royce with the sunset flip. What the hell are they doing out there? The Iconic is not supposed to be losing. Peyton Royce is going to be the next biggest star in women's wrestling. And she took a pin to Aaliyah? That was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Gonna have to speak to old Hunter about that soon.
Yeah, Didi, I feel the same way about Peyton Royce the same way I did about Sasha. Everybody was telling me, oh, you need to watch NXT for Charlotte. I was like, okay, cool. When I tuned in, Sasha just jumped off the screen at me. I was like, yeah, that Charlotte girl's pretty good. I was like, but the one is Sasha. Same thing with Peyton. It's like, hey, Ember's pretty good, but the one is Peyton. She is.
But Peyton is Caucasian, right?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, I can't do it that in America. Like,
I know.
Unacceptable.
She's so good. So our main event, Ty Dillinger versus Eric Young, steel cage match. After hitting the tiebreaker on Young, Sandy comes down to interfere. They lock the cage door. That causes Ruby Riott, Cassius Ohno, and Roderick Strong to come down to even up the odds. Killian Dane then comes down and wipes all of them, rushes the cage, and wipes out like everybody. right?
Cool.
And he eventually scales the cage while Ty Dillinger was trying to get out. Alexander Wolf comes up on the other side, and so Ty's basically, you know, trapped at the top of the cage with Eric Young and Killian Dane in the ring. So he does what anybody would do. He does a crossbody off the top of the cage onto Killian Dane and Eric Young. Ty then crawls out of the cage door and celebrates with Roddy and Ono. And Ty does one final victory lap at Full Sail as the show goes off. So in the rare occasion in his final match at NXT, Ty Dillinger actually won. He didn't get pinned. And so, yeah, it goes off. He's on Roderick Strong and Cassius Ono's shoulder. And, you know, they're cheering. And then he gets down. And then he does, like, a victory lap around the ring. And everybody's chanting 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. So,
oh, that's cute.
Yeah, yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. Good main event. Eric Young somehow got busted open. So that always is, you know, a plus when we have a cage match. This is a really good show. Pretty good show, NXT. I didn't like the, like I said, the tag team women's match. The booking of that was a little strange. Looking forward to what they're going to do with Asuka, considering if Ember's actually hurt now, where that's going to go. But they're kind of playing it up like she's getting too cocky. She's too confident and too arrogant, and it's going to come back to bite her. So I can't wait to see who is the one who gets to knock her off.
It's weird because I honestly can't buy anybody down there beating her. She's just that good. Like, she's the best wrestler that WWE has right now. I don't buy any of those chicks down there. Even, and I like Ember and her terrible weave. I just don't think she can beat. I don't think Ember can beat Asuka.
Yeah, Ember Moon got some work to do as far as just her. She's not pinning Asuka yet. Not yet.
They have a disconnect with her character. It's like, is she mysterious and creepy, or is she like girl next door, you know?
Who, Ember?
Yeah.
Like, she looks like she should be demonic, but not.
Yeah, like when she wears the red contacts, and then didn't she do some kind of promo where she was kind of like a vampire or something?
I think so.
So it's like, what? I don't get what her character is supposed to be. I don't know.
It's just a big question mark, and you know.
Yeah, see, I think that's becoming more like for WWE anyway, because of the E part of it all. The wrestling is becoming less and less the major part to get you there. You can't even better. That's why Enzo works.
Yeah, because
he can't wrestle worth a damn, but
he can entertain,
and that's going to keep him up there for as long as he wants to be there. As long as he doesn't do anything stupid. He's going to be there as long as he wants to be, because he can do anything. He can work in front of the camera, behind the camera. He can do commentary. He can be a manager. He can be whatever.
And he's got he's got things outside of WWE, like with the sneaker thing. Like, his mouth and his personality is going to write him checks for however long he plans on staying with the company, you know?
Right. And I think a lot of guys right now, they're getting to that company, and a lot of them are getting there based on their wrestling. But then once they get there, they figure out, oh, guess what?
You got to entertain.
Need that much. It's all about how I can entertain the crowd.
Right.
And I think that's what Braun Strowman's getting to the point where he's figuring out, oh, you know what? Doing this big man stuff is entertaining the crowd. Picking Kalisto up and putting him in a trash can.
That's entertaining the crowd.
Right. It's entertaining the crowd. It doesn't have nothing to do with wrestling. It's not a wrist lock or a bear hug or a choke slam. Right. It's just the pure entertainment of it. And
I think that's why guys like Dean Ambrose is finding it hard to connect with fans or even to be an interesting character, because these guys spent so much time on the wrestling because of where the company wasn't going out and getting talent before. But ever since, you know, Triple H opened up NXT, you know, guys have been, okay, we're going to get you based on your talent. Now we're going to put you out here. You got to entertain. And some guys have, you know, they've picked up on it, and then there's other guys that's like, oh shit, I've now got to entertain 15,000 people. I'm starting to lose a little bit of material here. I need help.
Right, because the wrestling just isn't enough, because you don't get a chance to really showcase it except for like once a month.
Right,
you know, you can't really rely in a 4-minute match on Raw. You're gonna have to, you know, either do it coming to the ring or do something. You're doing the headstand when he got the Shatter Machine. Like, it wasn't much, but everybody put 1,000 gifts out of it. And it's kind of like that's the way for the gift now. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you can't figure out something to make a gift out of your match, then, you know, it's going to go unnoticed.
Right. That's why Roman Reigns, he's been having gifts ever since he went solo, like punch a Miz in the mouth, and then they making a gift, like, this is your mom helping you with your homework, or him, you know, getting destroyed by Braun Strowman, and they're like, oh, this is what happens at United when it's overbooked or whatever. So, you know, you got to be able, you can't just wrestle anymore. You got to be able to entertain, and, you know, that's why guys like Enzo, you know, that's why the E is like, nah, we're not going to let you go. We're gonna make money off of you, you know?
Right. All right, so hopefully this episode 130 of the WrestleCast was entertaining, and at this point, we're going to let our guests give their shout-outs and their thank yous. So, Ms. V, we'll start with you.
Thanks for having me.
Always thank you for coming.
Yeah, I don't know who I'm going to shout-out. Let's shout-out...
Mother Nature for giving you a day off yesterday.
Yeah, Mother Nature, yes, you are amazing for yesterday. Although you've been a real bitch because it's been cold as hell. So I don't know if I can give you too many props. But, yeah, so, and then shout out to my team. Let's win some games. Let's win the rest of this homestand. Yeah,
shout out to Brian Dozier Inside the Park Home Rent.
Oh, yeah, that was really dope. That was good times. That was fun to watch. That's about it. All right.
And?
Oh, man, I definitely appreciate you guys bringing me on at the last minute. It's fun, you know, getting to talk pro wrestling with people I could connect with, because I just be, like, tweeting my ass off and whatnot. So, yeah, thank you guys for bringing I definitely want to come back and keep chopping it up with you guys, because it's going to be – I think this year is going to be a good year for wrestling, so –
Oh, man, thank you for being able to jump on last minute, do a run-in for us. We had to do a little rescheduling on some booking, so we appreciate both of y'all for jumping in, helping us out last minute.
No.
Katie?
I want to give a shout-out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to V, especially V, because I tweeted her, like, what you doing? Like, where you at? She made it happen. Like, out of nowhere. Like, I'm talking maybe, like, 3 minutes notice. She was like, well, let me see what I could do. So I definitely appreciate that. I want to give a shout-out to Liquor, because Liquor is, like, so bomb. I want to give a shout-out to Edibles, because it's 420, although I'm not partaking, and it won't be 420 when you hear this. Just know that it was 420, and I didn't have anything, so I want that for all of you. Shout out to A Day Off, because I'm not working on Friday.
Aw, that life is fun.
Listen,
I would have traded my Monday for Friday.
Listen, first of all, I had to work Monday. Second of all, I had to be up at 5 o'clock? 6 o'clock on Tuesday? Some life that I don't usually live. Like, I was up at 5. I was out of the house at 6. I was at work before 7. Dude who worked at the front desk was like, what are you doing? And I was like, yeah, no. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, I was early. I had time for breakfast. Had a bomb breakfast sandwich. I can't lie. It was really good. But I was like, you people really be up at, like, 7. Like, for real. Like, out in the world at 7. Like, that shit is crazy. So, shout out to all of y'all who, like, really be up and about at 7 in the morning. That shit is for the birds. Yeah,
no doubt.
Wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning every day. You do? Why? Like, that's awful. I'm sorry.
Only because they pay me.
Nigga, like, no. But yes, I would like to pay, but no. Like, my God.
Oh, like, God.
It just sounds awful. Okay, so shout out to y'all, because y'all, my God. What else? Shout out to my kids. They don't know I have a little thing, but if they find it, shout out to y'all. Shout out to Dave and Buster's for their Wednesday situation. Half off drinks, half off games. Shout out to their little Plinko game that I got the grand prize on. Yes, I'm skilled. 500 tickets. Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's on a shout out.
All right. Greg, our other compatriots here at the WrestleCast, I'd like to shout out Classic, who is across borders, you know, being Mr. International in the Great White North. I'd like to shout out Mel, and I give a shout out to Siege. We miss Siege here on the network. Give a shout out to the Decepticomics traveling up and down the roads, providing laughs for everyone. Give a shout out to good folks over at Comic Book Chronicles. You know, everybody knows Schooling, Tobias, Tyler, Thasso, Jesse. And so there's anybody else I can think of. I forgot. Kishino Age, The Glow, Gorgeous Ladies of WrestleCast, everybody who joins us for the hashtag broadcast, hashtag SmackDown Matters, and, of course, our new show, hashtag Cast of Strong Style. Give a big shout-out to Moto. I'll be talking to her on Sunday. We'll have a new show for you guys coming out next week for Cast of Strong Style. So stay for the party promo. And for our guests, Anthony and Ms. B, this has been Dee Dee and Don for episode 130 of the WrestleCast.
I'm proud to say that last week I broke Roman Reigns in half. I'm proud to say that Roman Reigns left in an ambulance. I'm proud to say that Roman Reigns has a separated shoulder and cracked rib. And I'm damn sure proud to announce that Roman Reigns will not be here tonight. Braun, what point are you trying to prove? You've done enough damage. You flipped over a freaking ambulance with Roman Reigns inside. There's still more to come. You know, that's exactly what Roman said right before he went on the air tonight. And despite his injuries, so-called, I'm going to give him exactly what he wants. And that's a match with you at the appropriately named pay-per-view, Payback. It will be Roman Reigns' funeral. I guess we'll see in 2 weeks. Yeah? What about tonight? 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 Your ass should be suspended. Okay, you've done enough damage. You can consider tonight off. You know, Mick Foley tried to play these games with me, and you saw how far that got him. I want more competition tonight, or else. Or else what?
Braun Strowman gives the or else. It does not work out well for the rest of the roster.